right, well, welcome on in. And good morning. You okay there, Kenny?
Yep, going around.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here this morning. And we are going to continue. Miss Big, how are you?
Mr. Big.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to continue this morning with lesson number two on security. And let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. And we'll get started this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy. And we thank you again for this time we can come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to learn more about you, grow closer to you. And Father, I just pray now this morning, this class time would be profitable, would be encouraging, and just help us to learn more about you. Be with the morning service still yet to follow. Be with those still coming in. Give them safety of travel on the roads, and give us a good day in your house. And for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you, we need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, well, a couple weeks ago we started talking about, of course, salvation and how to know that we can be saved, how to know that we can be born again, how to know that Christ is our Savior. And then last week, I asked you, and some of you were not here, so I'll ask again. If you went up to a house and you saw this, what would you think?
Bring a treat.
Bring a treat. That's a good one. Anybody else? What would you think if you saw this sign, Miss Rose?
Turn around and walk away.
Turn around and walk away. That's right. And now, if you were to come in to the classroom this morning and you saw the door was padlocked, what do you think that would tell us?
Grab a hammer.
I said that last week.
Oh, my soul. But, what it would tell us, Joe was here.
What happened?
My soul. But what it tells us is somebody was placing a high emphasis on security. Someone was placing a high emphasis on security. And so today we want to continue looking at the assurance of salvation, the security that we have in Christ. And so last week we looked at keeping the commandments of God. And now we'll begin today on page number two. But who'd like to read there John chapter 3 and verse 36? John chapter 3 and verse 36. Miss Martha, go ahead.
I finally found it. We're laughing now. Oh, no, go ahead and laugh. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. And so last week, we've been looking at five proofs of salvation that should be evident in our life to prove that we're saved, to prove that we're born again, to prove that we're saved. And the first one was keeping the commandments of God. We said that if we love God, if we're saved, if we're truly a Christian, we're going to do our best to keep those commandments. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to keep them. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We're going to be because nobody's perfect, and we all know that. But there will at least be that desire to keep the commandments of God. So then number two this morning, loving the brethren, or very simply, loving each other. If we're Christians, we will learn how to love one another, even when one another might not be that lovely. Even when, Katie knows what I'm talking about.
What?
Uh-huh, exactly. But, you know, that's one of the evidences of salvation is loving each other. And so, and that's the next proof of salvation, a love for fellow Christians. Because those who are not saved do not have a natural love for Christians. I mean, you turn on the news, you turn on, you know, Twitter or Facebook or, you know, whatever, and you just see that more and more today, Christians are hated for whatever reason, for various reasons. And so we see that. But who'd like to read there 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14? 1 John, Michaela, go ahead.
We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
All right. So 1 John 3:14 there. That's our first fill in the blank under number 2. We know that we have passed from death and life because we love what?
Brethren.
The brethren. The brethren, one another. And he that blank, not his brother, abideth in death. What's that second fill in the blank? Loveth. That's right. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Who'd like to flip over? Let's go. We'll skip those next two since we'll stay in 1 John for the moment. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, and then verse 12. Katie?
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
All right, so we see here that first fill in the blank there. Let us what?
Love.
Love, that's right. Let us love one another. Why? Because God, or for love is of God. Then that second fill in the blank, he that loveth blank knoweth not God. What do you think that?
Not.
That's right. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. It's incapable and impossible for us to say that we love God if we don't love each other, because how can we love something or somebody that we don't see when we say we don't love people we do see? And so that's one of the things you'll find throughout Scripture. If this relationship is not right, then 9 times out of 10, the relationship between us and God will not be right. And so then that third fill in the blank, no man hath seen God at any time. If blank one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And so if we what?
Love
one another. God dwelleth in us. That's right. And then who wants to flip over there? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. Ms. Rose?
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
All right. And so we see there, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that blank him,
loveth
him. That's right, that loveth him. And now let's go back up to those two verses we skipped in the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 35. John chapter 13 and verse 35. Who'd like to read that this morning? Brother Kenny?
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
All right, and so we see here, if ye have what?
Love.
Love one to another. You know, so oftentimes, and you know, Christians can become guilty of this. We can say, well, people will know we are Christians by our standards, or people will know we're Christians by what we're for, what we're against. But the Bible clearly tells us that if people are to know that we're disciples, if people are to know that we're Christians, we have to have love for one another. We have to love each other. Then John chapter 15 and verse 12. John chapter 15 and verse number 12. Who'd like to read that this morning?
I will.
All right, Miss Sandy.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
All right, so again we see that ye love one a what?
One another.
One another, as I have loved you. So you know, it's natural this morning for brothers and sisters to sometimes get in fights, to sometimes bicker, butt heads,
Lock one another in cabinets.
What on earth?
What? So, there's a dog breathing in
here. Oh. We need to know this story, but you know, even when you quarrel, even when you fight, even when you butt heads, even when you don't necessarily see the eye to eye, there's still a deep love for one another. You know, growing up, I knew I had a brother, but we didn't grow up together. We didn't know each other. In fact, I didn't meet my brother for the first time until 2015. 2015, I was sitting in my office after church one Sunday morning, and I get a message on Facebook asking me if I'm so-and-so, if I'm Rosalie's son, and I'm thinking, well, this is weird, and so I get to talking, and sure enough, it was my brother, and so we met up and went to lunch and different things, and you would be amazed, having not grown up together, not knowing each other, how our personalities are the same. He has a temper. I have a temper. He likes the Eagles. I like the Eagles. And then just, you know, different things. And so, because there's that connection, that deep love that is there for each other. And so, the Christian should have a deep love for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, even when we don't necessarily see the eye to eye. Even when we don't necessarily get along, we should still love one another. So the second proof of salvation is loving each other. We need to love one another. Then number three this morning, proof of salvation is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So another proof of salvation is the Holy Spirit that God has given to his children. When a person becomes a believer, he becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians. And so the Holy Spirit comes into us and it ministers to us in teaching, in comforting, in reminding, in empowering, in filling, in guiding, and convicting the believer. So think of it this way. You know, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, maybe you went to do something and all of a sudden you thought, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't, you know, this isn't something I feel good about. And, you know, if you've ever seen a movie and you have, you know, on one shoulder, you have the angel. And then on the other shoulder, you have the devil. And they're kind of in your ear. You know, the angel on this side telling you to do what's right. The devil on this side telling you to do that which is wrong. And, you know, that's a very basic picture of the Holy Spirit versus the devil, the old man, that we do battle with every day. Every day we have choices to make. The Holy Spirit is there leading us and guiding us. And he's trying to get us to make those right decisions. But sometimes we let the flesh get in the way. Sometimes we let the world get in the way. Sometimes we let the devil get in the way, and we can push the Holy Spirit away. We can quench the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says. And so, who'd like to read there 1 John chapter number 3 and verse 24? 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 24. Yeah, Michaela, go ahead.
And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
All right, and so we see there, and it's focusing on that second half of the verse. And hereby we what?
No.
We know that he abideth in us by what?
The Spirit.
And so we know that we're saved because we know that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We know that when we go to do what's wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to be there to convict us and speak to us and tell us, okay, you shouldn't be doing this. And, you know, if there's ever a time you can go and do things and you don't get, you know, that kind of that feeling that says, okay, shouldn't be doing this, or you need to do this, or, you know, I don't know, maybe you're out and about and, you know, you see somebody down in their luck and, you know, the Lord's just poking at your heart, prodding at your heart, and saying, hey, go help them, get them a meal, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, we know that that's the Spirit that's indwelling us because We're a new creature. We're new creatures in Christ. And so flip over 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And who'd like to read there verse number 13? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. Ms. Martha?
Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit.
All right. And so, again, we see we what? We hereby know we that dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his what?
Spirit.
Spirit. That's right. And then who'd like to flip over Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. Yep, or 14 and 16.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage against to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
All right, so again, we see we're led by what?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. Because the Spirit itself beareth what?
Witness.
Witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so one of the proofs of salvation is to know that we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And so that's number three. And then number four this morning, overcoming the world. Overcoming the world. So the fourth proof of salvation, the fourth proof you can kind of point to know that you're saved, to know that you're a Christian, is this special strength to overcome the world. Because let's face it, every day we wake up, we face new challenges, we face new tasks, we face new obstacles, we face, and that's just in our general everyday, you know, go to work, go to school, go grocery shopping, whatever the case may be. And that's not even just talking about on top of what the world, the flesh, and the devil will throw at us on top of just, you know, normal, mundane, everyday life to life. And so, as Christians, we've been given this special strength to overcome the world, and it's been given to us by God. And the Lord promises to be faithful in helping us to overcome the temptations and snares of this world. And so, who'd like to read there? We're going to be in 1 John and then 2 and 1 Corinthians. But 1 John chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5. Katie?
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
All right, and so we see there that if we're born of God, we can what?
Overcometh.
Overcometh the world, that's right. And then flip right back there, 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Miss Martha?
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
All right, and so we have what?
Overcome.
We've overcome because of who we have living inside of us. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse number 17. Caleb?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
All right. So again, this is perhaps one of the most well-known portions of Scripture when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being a new creature. Therefore, if any man be what?
In
Christ. We're a new creature. And then 1 Corinthians. So one book back, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11.
And shall were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God.
All right, so we see there The Bible tells us we in such what? Where are some of you? And so that's a very good verse to just meditate on, because so oftentimes as Christians, we, especially Christians, we get accused of having kind of a Pharisaical attitude. We get accused of having a hypocritical attitude when it comes towards people who are not in the church, or people who are not yet Christians, or people who are not yet saved. And the Bible reminds us, and such were some of you. Before salvation, we were those people that maybe people in the church were talking about, that maybe people wanted nothing to do with. And the Bible reminds us that if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd still be in that same situation. So extend grace to those who maybe aren't quite there yet. And overcoming the world. And number five, and finally, having answered prayer. Having answered prayer. And so the final proof of salvation is just that, answered prayers. And only believers can actually experience the joy of having God answer our prayers. I think it was last week Miss Sandy had mentioned that she had heard, I think it was from a pastor, you said, that that he was kind of teaching on this, that God doesn't hear the prayers of the unbeliever.
That's right.
And
that was when I was being witnessed to when I was 18. I didn't know, and he told me that, and then I accepted God as my Savior.
Absolutely, and that's the truth. I mean, the only prayer that God hears the unbeliever is that prayer of repentance. And so, who'd like to look up there? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. Kayla?
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
All right. And so we see there, and this is another key verse, because it says there, if we ask anything according to his will. His will. You see, so oftentimes we get into the mindset and we get into trouble that we pray for something, God does an answer, and so we get mad at God. Well, is what we're praying for, is it his will? You know, if you pray for a Lamborghini, is that his will?
Good testimony right there.
What's that?
That'd be good testimony.
It would be though, wouldn't it? You pray for a Lamborghini and you know, you get the Lamborghini and you can say, look at what God gave me, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know.
Maybe a Porsche.
Or a Porsche, yeah, you know. Or an Aston Martin, you know. And, or even, you know, a Batmobile, you know, I don't know. Simple things, that's right. And, what if, you know, the Lord said that he would provide all of our needs. Not necessarily all of our wants, but all of our needs. And so your want may be that Lamborghini, your want may be that Porsche, but he may give you a 1990 Geo Metro. You know, I don't know. Anyone ever see a Geo Metro? You know, that little small car? I remember our pastor's son in Philly. He had one of those little Geo Metros, and every other Sunday we had the nursing home ministry. And so we would load up a box of hymn books, a little pulpit thing like this, and then I would squeeze in, he would squeeze in, and one other person would squeeze in. Now, you know, for a skinny person, a Geo Metro is pushing it.
Oh, gosh.
Now, you, oh, do you see it?
It's ugly.
Oh, yeah, it's ugly, too, yeah. And so it wasn't good for the big boy. And I hate it riding that thing. And I remember one Sunday night, the pastor's son and another guy in church, they went up to Center City, Philadelphia, and they broke down. So they called his dad, the pastor, to come pick them up for church. And their dad, or his dad, basically told them, nope, you're on your own. We're getting ready for church. And so they had to somehow get the car back into South Philly, get it back in the church. They missed church. But, What was the point of that story? Oh, yeah. Asking things in the will of God. Right? Asking things in the will of God.
Yeah, no, and what you need.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, you know we're going to go home today and, you know, or maybe go out somewhere, get something to eat. And, you know, you may want filet mignon. But God may just have provided you some, you know, Walmart ground beef. But he still took care of your needs. He still took care of that which you needed. And so it has to be in his will. But let's see here. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he blank us.
Heareth
us. That's right. So if we ask things in his will, he heareth us. And he will answer those prayers, but it will be in his time and not necessarily our time. And so salvation, being saved, being a Christian cannot be based on anything outside of the Bible, outside of the Word of God. Who'd like to look up there? And well, I should go in reverse there. Look up 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and then skip down to verse 13. Who would like to look those up for us this morning? Miss Martha?
And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And then what?
Verse 13. Yep.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
All right. And so 1 John 5:11, this is the what?
Record.
The record. That's right. The Bible is our record that God hath given to us what?
Eternal
life. That's right. And this life is in his Son. And then verse 13, these things have I what?
Written
unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what?
Know.
That ye have eternal life. God didn't want us to doubt whatsoever. He wanted us to know that we have eternal life. And so the believer's salvation, the Christian's salvation this morning, is based upon the Bible. It's based upon the written word of God, just as any important event is put in the writing to assure that it's valid. You know, suppose that a man asked if he is married. He replies that he hopes so because he's been living with a woman for 20 years and they have 4 kids. Now, if he said that he sure hopes he's married, but he has his doubts, one would think that man to be kind of unstable. Because everyone who is married knows that they're married. Everybody knows that they're married. And they don't say, well, I hope so, or I think so. They say yes or no. Yes, I'm married. No, I'm married. They know that they're married because they have it in writing on a piece of paper called the marriage license. And even so, the child of God, the Christian, has his salvation in writing in the Bible, in the Word of God. We know that we have salvation. So maybe, you know, you're asked if you're saved, you're asked if you're a Christian, and you kind of bounce back and forth. Well, I hope so, I think so, maybe so. You can go from all of those so's to no so, because you have it written in the Word of God. And so, any questions on this particular lesson this morning? All right, then let's look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed this morning.